The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, shit, that was a hell of a Thursday night football game last night. I mean, Ravens-Bengals is just a fucking headbanger at every point, man. Like, earlier this season, they went into overtime. It was Joe Burrow versus Lamar Jackson. Well, shit, we got that again. Second time this year, these two motherfuckers went off. Like, shit. That was just a fantastic game to watch last night, man. Great quarterback play from both teams. Jamar Chase, too. Don't forget about that guy. I mean, whoa. Is Jamar Chase not one of the biggest playmakers in the league or what? I mean, I feel like we all have already kind of known that. But, I mean, Jesus, the guy went off. Hit 264 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, like, one play, it was just like, boom. Joe Burrow just, like, tosses it out there. Chase grabs it and, boom. They literally score a touchdown in, like, 5.5 seconds. It was crazy. But, I mean, in the end, Ravens ended up getting the win 35-34. It literally was a battle all night long. It was like Ravens would score, Bengals would score, it actually was Bengals to start. It kind of looked like the Bengals were going to start running away with this one before halftime, but then second half started and Lamar Jackson was like, hi, y'all, Lamar Jackson's here to save the motherfucking day. And it was seriously an insane battle. But it pretty much came down to a 2-point conversion for the Cincinnati Bengals. Instead of going for overtime and kicking the field goal, what they ended up doing was going for the 2-point conversion, failed on the 2-point conversion, did not get the onside kick. So the Ravens ended up getting the win 35-34. But man, like I said, crazy quarterback play. Joe Burrow, 34 for 56. He threw the ball 56 fucking times last night, 428 yards and 4 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, 25 for 33. The accuracy there. 290 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, whoa, it was an explosion of offense. And for a person who's not really a fan of either team, I was cool with whoever won this one. That was an excellent battle between two teams. That's what I'm always talking about when it comes to these division battles. It does not matter how one team is performing and if one's doing better than the other. This is what happens when you just get an excellent division matchup between two teams who just know each other so well. And then you've got the excellent quarterback play between the two of them. Whew, great game last night between the Bengals and the Ravens. And Ravens keep on soaring, man. I mean, hell, Derrick Henry, he was pretty much a non-factor last night. And usually when, so far in this season, their three losses have been like where Derrick Henry hasn't really performed well. So they were able to actually overcome this and just have an extreme battle with their division rival. And it was a good-ass game, and the Ravens walk away with another win. So let's get to week 10 and the rest of the weekend of the games. By the way, between my head-to-head matchup with Simon Ruvalcaba, I didn't even write it down, so I got to kind of turn the page here a bit. But last week, I went 11-4. Simon went 12-3, so he caught up a game on me. My season total is 88-50. His is 75-63, so he does have a ways to go. And the both of us picked Baltimore last night. I had Baltimore winning 35-24. He had Baltimore winning 27-17. So we both start the weekend off 1-0. So let's start off with Sunday's games, beginning with the Munich-Germany game. That's right. We have us the last international game of the season in Munich. And I am sorry, Munich. You just get two terrible-ass teams to watch this weekend. So it's the New York Giants at the Carolina Panthers. And right now, the Giants are a 4.5-point favorite. These are probably two of the worst teams we could have sent out to Germany, but you never know that when you are creating the schedules and all that. But So yeah, this one, it actually is probably going to be a good game since it's two shitty teams. For me, I'm leaning towards Giants in this one. It really is a coin toss in my opinion, but I went with the Giants simply because the Giants have kind of pushed the limits in these last couple of games they've played where they get going on a couple of runs and it looks like they kind of want to win the game. So I kind of feel like this week they're finally going to win the game. And, you know, the Panthers, they're very up and down and, you know, they got the win last week, so they'll probably lose this week. So that's just kind of my thoughts on that. But I mean, both teams are terrible. It doesn't really matter who wins. And I've got the Giants winning 21-20. And good for Simon. He is going with his Carolina Panthers in this one, 23-20. As I said, this one was a coin toss. I was kind of looking at the Panthers like, should I take them? But really, with the Giants, like I said, it's just more like I'm looking at them these last couple of games. I could tell they're playing just a little bit, just enough to lose. But maybe they'll play just enough to win this weekend. But who knows? Maybe they'll end up in a tie. I wouldn't be shocked by that result either. Then moving over to the States and with the games we have here, beginning with the morning games, we have the New England Patriots at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Bears are a 6.5-point favorite. New England, not a good team at all. Chicago, they've had their moments, and they've pretty much been down right now. You know, they started off the season kind of low. Then they had a nice little high there for a little bit, and now they're back to being low. I kind of see them going back up to being high, beginning with this game. Simply because that's how I actually thought the Bears season would go. I thought they were going to have some highs, and then I thought they were going to have some lows. I just feel like they're that team that's going to get some random good wins, but then they're also going to get those random bad losses because they're still finding their way. I mean, they've got a rookie quarterback, and they just don't have much of an identity yet, but that's what the season is for them, to just kind of get through the bullshit and try and figure things out and then become a good team next year. At least that's usually the goal. The Patriots are just an awful team, and there's really nothing. Drake May looks like he's going to be the future, at least at the quarterback position. But, I mean, overall, this team is just not good at all. So I've got Chicago winning this one 24-17, and Simon also has Chicago winning this one 20-16. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Bills are a 4.5-point favorite. The Colts, they're just one of those random teams that I don't think is good, but I don't think it's bad. They're just right there in the middle. They're going to get some weird wins. They're going to get some ass kickings. The Bills, on the other hand, they, to me, are absolutely a Super Bowl contender team. I could see them in the Super Bowl. That's how good I feel the Buffalo Bills are. They're playing well on the offensive side of the ball. They're playing well on the defensive side of the ball. Their kicker, he just hit a huge kick last week. So they're winning the big, they're winning the close games. And then they're also winning the games where they should kick somebody's ass. This one, in this game, I feel like they're a much better team than the Colts. So they actually should pretty much dominate this game the whole way. And that's what I see with this. So I have the Bills winning big 31-20. And Simon also has the Bills winning this one 27-20. Then we have the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 9.5-point favorite. This is a division matchup, so I do expect the Denver Broncos to actually play well in this one, but I just think it's going to be the same song and dance that we've seen with the Kansas City Chiefs all season. They're going to do just enough to win. Their defense is probably going to lock it down, as they should. And then Mahomes is going to do what he can for the offense, and they're going to score the points that they score. They're not going to kick their ass or anything, but I just basically see this being a close matchup with the Chiefs winning, maybe in like a walk-off field goal, something of that nature. I do, like I said, I think it's going to be a close one because the Denver Broncos defense is actually really good. They are one of the top defenses in the league. So I feel like they're going to give Patrick Mahomes a run for his money in this one. But as always, I just have to take the Chiefs in this one. Until somebody could beat the Chiefs, I cannot pick against the Chiefs. So I've got the Chiefs winning this one 24-21. And Simon also has the Chiefs winning this one 38-21. Then we have the Atlanta Falcons at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Falcons are a 3.5-point favorite. The Saints' season has just been basically a wash, mostly because of the injuries. They did just fire their coach this past week, so you never know. That could sometimes provide your team with a boost. But the Falcons actually seem to be getting better as the season progresses on, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I just kind of see this being an Atlanta-dominated game. And I've got Atlanta winning this one 30-20. Simon also has Atlanta winning this one 27-16. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Niners are a 6.5-point favorite. Christian McCaffrey is apparently expected to play in this game, so this would be the first game of the season where we will see Christian McCaffrey playing. But I don't really think it's going to matter, actually, in this one. For some reason, I'm just feeling Tampa's going to upset San Francisco in this one. San Francisco really, they haven't been the Niners of the last couple of seasons. They're not kicking anybody's ass. They just are really not a good team at all. And even with or without Christian McCaffrey, I don't think they're a good team. I don't look at them and go, oh my God, the 49ers, they're a powerhouse. No, I don't even look at them as the best team in their division. I actually kind of feel like their division's a crapshoot at this point, but I think them, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals are all literally the same exact team. None of them is impressive. None of them is a piece of shit. They're all pretty much middle of the road, and that's how I feel about the Niners. Buccaneers, basically a middle of the road team too, but they play well, and they play hard every single game. And even though they don't have Evans or Godwin coming into this game, I still think they look pretty good offensively. I feel like their defense is actually going to take care of business and probably be the reason why they win this game. I think it's going to be a close battle, but I've got Tampa winning this one 28-20. And this is one disagreement between Simon and I this week. He has San Francisco winning 35-31. Then we have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Commanders are a 2.5-point favorite. Washington's been winning basically the same way the Steelers have been winning. They've just been getting by. And they have their strengths and they have their weaknesses. With Washington, offensively, that's definitely their strength. Jaden Daniels looking like a pretty solid quarterback. I mean, this is his rookie year, and he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks we have in the league right now. And they have some really solid receivers who can make big plays. They've got a solid ground attack right now. But defensively, they tend to get blown up just a little bit. Then you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's basically the exact opposite. Defensively, they are one of the best in the league, and TJ Watt is one of the most, like, as far as defense goes, it's crazy just to see how much he affects the wins and the losses for this team. And then offensively, though, they just aren't that good. They aren't that explosive. They're able to get the job done. They're able to get in field goal position because that's mostly what they do is kick a bunch of field goals. But, I mean, they're still getting the job done. In this matchup, I kind of look at it that Washington kind of feels like they're due for a loss. Pittsburgh's coming off of a bye week. I think Pittsburgh is the better team. They're the seasoned vets. And I just kind of feel like TJ Watt's going to be a problem for Jaden Daniels. And he's probably going to have some welcome to the NFL moments from Watt in this one. So I have the Steelers winning this one 24-14. And Simon also has the Steelers winning this one 26-23 in overtime. Then we have the Minnesota Vikings at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Vikings are a 4.5-point favorite. Vikings got back on track after their 2-game losing streak last week. They were able to get themselves a big win. Jacksonville, they just are a terrible team. There's nothing good to say about this team. They are not good on the offensive side of the ball. They're not good on the defensive side of the ball. They are just not a good team in any way, shape, and form. The Vikings, on the other hand, they have an excellent defense, which is one of the many reasons why they keep on winning this season. And then offensively, I kind of feel like they're just going to handle their business against the Jaguars in this one. And I've got the Vikings winning 27-14. Simon also has the Vikings winning this one 24-17. Then the afternoon games, we have the Tennessee Titans at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are a 7.5-point favorite. And the Titans, probably the worst team in the league. So I kind of feel like the Chargers are going to have probably their best game of the season since the Titans are terrible. Chargers kind of look like they're getting going, starting to roll offensively. Defensively, they are really good. So I just kind of feel like this is going to be a long day for the Titans. I've got the Chargers winning 40-10. Simon also has the Chargers winning big 30-13. Then we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Eagles are a 6.5-point favorite. Dak Prescott, it looks like he's already been placed on the IR, so he's definitely out for the next month. But there's a good possibility he's going to miss the rest of the season. At this point in time, excuse me, I don't think it matters what happens with the Cowboys. I think they are one of the worst teams in the league. And y'all know I'm a big-ass Cowboys fan, but I can't overlook how terrible they are. But I will always stick with my boys. I've said it on numerous occasions over the years while I've been doing this this podcast. I will never pick against my Cowboys, not only because of loyalty, but also because that will be the time when I do pick against them. That is when the Cowboys will win. And then I'm going to have to sit here and be like, what, you fucking bitch. You did not believe in your team. So I am, of course, picking my Cowboys in this one, even though I know it's an extreme uphill battle. But it is a division matchup, as I continue to reiterate. Division matchups are always weird. So we'll see what the Cowboys got in this one. I've got them winning 20-17 simply because I'm a stupid Cowboys fan. That's really what it is. Simon and I disagree on this one. I actually told him, we were joking back and forth about how he has so far to catch up to me. I'm like, well, shit, man. If you just keep picking against the Cowboys every week, there's a good shot you'll catch right up, because you know my dumbass is picking the Cowboys every week. So he did pick the Philadelphia Eagles to win 24-19. He actually thinks it's going to be a close one. But I would not be shocked to see the Cowboys get completely demolished in this one, because this Cowboys team is just really bad, and it's going to be interesting to see how really bad we are with without a capable quarterback. Then we have the New York Jets at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Cardinals are a 1.5-point favorite. I kind of was leaning towards this I'm never picking the Jets again this season attitude, but then this game approached, because for me, I've picked the Jets so many goddamn times this season, and they continue to let me down, and I'm like, I gotta stop picking this fucking team, because they're just not gonna get it together. But Arizona is not that good of a team either. They're very capable of beating the Jets. I mean, this to me is a coin flip game where either team could win, but I just look at the Jets as better than the Cardinals. The Cardinals are not good defensively. They do have a pretty explosive offense, but defensively, they are not good. For the Jets, they're just weird. They make no sense. They have no identity. They really haven't had that good of a game yet where you're like, wow, the Jets look good. So who knows how this game's going to turn out. I kind of feel like it's going to be one of those close battles between two pretty terrible teams. But I am going with the Jets begrudgingly in this one. I don't know why my gut just said go with the Jets, but I just had this thing after a couple weeks ago where I was like, I got to stop picking the stupid-ass Jets, and here I am picking the stupid-ass Jets. But I got them. Simon's also going with the stupid-ass Jets, 24-23. Then our Sunday night football game is a doozy. We've got us the Detroit Lions at the Houston Texans. Right now the Lions are a 3.5-point favorite. Detroit, as I continue to say, the best team in the league. They are killing it in all three phases of this game. They are playing with the utmost confidence. It's just, this team is so freaking good. They have so many weapons, and they are just feeling themselves. The Texans, they're a good team as well. It's just, offensive line is a problem, and this is not the team you want to play when your offensive line is having a problem. Even without Aiden Hutchinson, this Detroit Lions team, especially the front seven, is a killer. And I think they're going to be a problem for CJ Stroud. And I actually feel like this is going to be the difference in the game, is the defensive line between the Detroit Lions versus the offensive line of the Houston Texans. I do think this is going to be a good game. I don't think I'm thinking this is going to be a Detroit Lions runaway. No, I think it's actually going to be a pretty good battle, but I think the battle is going to be in the trenches, and I think when that's the battle, I look at this and I go, ooh, Detroit's defensive line is probably going to mollywop Houston Texans' offensive line. So I've got Detroit winning a close one, 28-27, and Simon also has Detroit winning a close one, 27-20. And the bye weeks this week, we have the Cleveland Browns, the Green Bay Packers, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Seattle Seahawks all on bye weeks this week. So let's move on to the NBA. We had a few things happen this week. Beginning on Monday, Cleveland Cavaliers keep on rolling. They got a big win over the Milwaukee Bucks, who are turning out to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. Two surprises so far. I mean, I know it's very early in the NBA season, so all of this can change. But man, the Bucks and the 76ers are two of the worst teams in the league right now. And this game was one of those games. Cleveland won 116-114 over the Bucks and tied a franchise record by starting the season off 8-0. Darius Garland had a big night, dropping 39 points in a crazy win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Then on Wednesday, Nikola Jokic do what Nikola Jokic do. First of all, the Nuggets got a big win over their division rivals, the Oklahoma City Thunder, handing the Thunder their first loss of the season. So there is only one undefeated team left in the NBA right now. But Denver got a crazy win over the Oklahoma City Thunder, 124-122. It was a battle between these two. But Jokic, like I said, he do what he do. What do you think he did? He got himself a triple-double, 23 points, 20 rebounds, and 16 assists. That's not just a triple-double. That is a monster triple-double. So Jokic is just continuing to do what the fuck he always does. I mean, how do you stop this guy? It's just crazy. Then also on Wednesday night, another big win, this time by the Golden State Warriors over the Boston Celtics, 118-112. Steph Curry, he came back from injury just in time to rain on the Boston Celtics parade. He dropped 27 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. Most of his points, though, came in the fourth quarter. It was basically Steph Curry going off in the fourth quarter is what helped put them over the edge and seal the win on this one. Buddy Hield also added in an additional 16 points to this one. And the Golden State Warriors, they shockingly keep rolling. You know, I thought the Warriors were going to be one of the worst teams this season, and they could still end up being one of the worst teams this season. But right now, they are taking care of business. I mean, the last time they played in Boston, they got demolished by like 50-some points. So them going into Boston and getting this win over the defending champs, over a team that started off the season real hot, that's a big win for Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. And then also on Wednesday night, Cleveland Cavaliers continued their winning streak by beating the New Orleans Pelicans 131-122, and they set a team record by starting off the season 9-0. They have never done that in the history of the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise. Not even when LeBron James was a Cleveland Cavalier did they start off 9-0. So we'll see how far they could take it. But the Cavaliers, they are on fire. Donovan Mitchell dropped 29 points in this game. And, of course, they're going to lose at some point. But, I mean, they are starting off the season hot, and they look real good right now. All right, so let's move on to the top five list this week. Since we are at the midway point, for the most part, for the NFL season, you know, you look at this and sometimes the teams that are rolling keep on rolling, and then there are teams that are not playing that well or playing kind of like middle-of-the-road football. They can sometimes turn it around at this point in the season, or you could just keep playing like shit. But there have been many teams throughout the history of the league who have just turned it around at this point in the season and just gone on a nice little second half run and then end up making the playoffs, but not only making the playoffs, but making it to the Super Bowl, and some of them even win the Super Bowl. So today we are going to do the top five second half playoff runs in the NFL. Since we're at the midway point, I felt like we might as well do that. Because I'm sure there are some teams that could actually come out of nowhere. I mean, like I said, the NFC West is up for grabs. So, I mean, as far as divisions go, any one of those teams could win that division. And then you look at the NFC North. They have three legit playoff teams, and then you have the Bears. But I think the Bears are a team that could actually fuck up some things for their division opponents. As far as playoffs go, the Bears could hold on to one of those wild card spots. So, hey, this is a division where you look at all four teams could potentially not only win their division, but could potentially take up some of those wild card spots as well. So who knows what's going to happen. But the second half, there's always, I don't want to say always, there's usually a team that just comes out of nowhere and is able to put together a solid second half and then make themselves a Super Bowl run, because anything can happen. That's what's so great about sports, is that kind of shit. So Today, we're going to do the top five second half playoff runs, beginning with number five. I have the 2021 Cincinnati Bengals. So they ended up with a regular season record of going 10-7. They actually ended up winning their division. But the thing was, is when they started off the season, it was kind of up and down. At their bye week, they were 5-4. They actually headed into their bye week on two losses. So it was just kind of like, we need to get our shit together. Nobody was looking at the Cincinnati Bengals at their bye week and going, this is a Super Bowl bound team. And the Bengals were like, fuck y'all. So they ended up putting together another solid season. They ended up winning their division. And then they ended up going on a nice little run here during the playoffs. So their wild card round, they got a win over the Oakland Raiders. It wasn't really that impressive because Oakland wasn't that good. But they got the win and moved on. And nobody was really expecting them to do anything in the divisional round. Well, they went to the divisional round and took out the Tennessee Titans. And then they went and played the defending Super Bowl champion. Oh, wait, no, they weren't the defending Super Bowl champs at this point, but they were one of the top teams in the league at this point, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. They would go to Kansas City, which is always a tough place to play, and they would just have a duel, and they would go into overtime, and the Cincinnati Bengals would get the better of the Chiefs, and nobody took the Bengals in this matchup. All of us, myself included, were like, Chiefs are winning this shit. Nah, Bengals went to Kansas City, took care of business, and moved on to Super Bowl 56, where they would unfortunately lose to the Los Angeles Rams, but it was a battle to the bitter end. I mean, it came down to basically Joe Burrow got sacked, and the Rams defense really just held it down for them, but The Bengals were a force throughout that playoff run, and they even made it interesting in the Super Bowl, almost won the Super Bowl, and that was all because they put together a nice, solid second-half regular season run. They did end up losing the Super Bowl, of course. You don't want to lose the Super Bowl, but when they were at their bye week at 5-4, heading into it with two losses, even every playoff game, I don't believe they were favored in any besides the Oakland Raiders one, and I could be wrong, they maybe weren't even favored in that one. But for the most part, this team was counted out, and they put together a nice solid run and ended up going to the Super Bowl. Then at number four on my top five second half playoff runs, I have the 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the team before the Bengals that I was just talking about, this was actually Tom Brady's first season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They did end up going 11-5, but they finished second in their division, so they ended up getting one of the wild card spots. But the thing with this team was, is by the time they hit their bye week, because they were a very streaky team. They were up, they were down, they were up, they were down. They really didn't have an identity. And heading into their bye week, they had two losses heading into their bye week, and they were 7-5. And they just did not look like a legit team. Then all of a sudden, they got their shit together, and they really just went on this nice little regular season one run and ended up making it to the playoffs. Now, since they were in a wild card position, they had to go on the road for every single playoff game, except for one, technically. So the wild card round, they ended up going to Washington. This was when Washington was the Washington football team, because as you know, they've had like 95 different names for no stupid-ass reason, but I digress. They played Washington in a crazy battle, too. Washington really took it to the Bucs, but the Buccaneers ended up getting the win in that one. Then the Buccaneers would end up going to New Orleans in the divisional round. They would get a win over the New Orleans Saints, who owned their asses in the regular season. The regular season, the Buccaneers could not get a win against the Saints. The Saints just dominated them, but they were able to beat them in the playoffs when it mattered the most. So they would move on to the NFC Championship game in Green Bay. It wasn't like a treacherous type of day, but it was a cold, snowy day in which Tom Brady would do Tom Brady things, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would walk away with the win in Green Bay and go to Super Bowl 55. And as I said, they did get technically a home playoff game, and that was the Super Bowl. They became the first team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium, which was in Tampa. Now, they weren't the home team because the Chiefs were the home team, but they would end up obliterating the Chiefs in this one. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would actually go on to win the Super Bowl and be the first Super Bowl winning team to win the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Not only play it in their home stadium, but to win it in their home stadium. And they took out a good Kansas City Chiefs team, and they made it look real fucking easy too. But what I'm saying is this team, we did not look at them as a legit Super Bowl contender at the bye week. There was a lot of questions about this team at the bye week. And then every single playoff game they went into, nobody really took them that serious. I mean, of course, we were like, well, yo, they got Tom Brady, so of course, they got a shot at winning. But that was it. I mean, this wasn't like a dominating team until they hit the playoff mode and they would end up winning the Super Bowl. Then at number three on my top 5 second half playoff runs, I have the 2008 Arizona Cardinals. They ended up with a 9-7 regular season regular season record, and that actually won them the division on the last day of the season, which is, that just goes to show you how terrible that division was. But it doesn't matter. All you have to do is make the playoffs. Every matchup that the Cardinals played in this playoff run, they were not favored. As a matter of fact, I mean, we all looked at the Cardinals as, this is a stupid 9-7 team. They're going to be one and done. They aren't going to do shit. Well, not only did they go on a run, but this was one of the greatest performances by a wide receiver in the history of playoffs. Larry Fitzgerald, oh my God. Every game this guy played, he made some of the most amazing game-changing plays. It was just crazy to see Larry Fitzgerald just take over in so many of these games, and nobody could stop him. So it started against the Atlanta Falcons in the wild card round. They would go on and beat the Atlanta Falcons in the wild card round. Then they would move on to the division round, and they would beat the Carolina Panthers. And if you don't remember this season, this Carolina Panthers team in the 2008 season, they were a good team. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they were the top seed. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they were the number one overall seed or number two. I know they were at the top, but I'm pretty sure Carolina was number one this year. It was when they had Jake Delhomme, Steve Smith, all these really excellent, what's his name? Oh my God, the running back. I can't remember his name. Oh my God, I'm pretty sure he's even the coach of at UCLA right now. Jesus, his name is on the tip of my fucking tongue right now. But regardless, this Carolina Panthers team was really good, and they actually got beat bad by the Cardinals in this one in the divisional round. And then in the NFC Championship game, the Cardinals would go on to beat the Philadelphia Eagles as well. So they would move on to Super Bowl 48 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it was a shootout. In the end, I mean, this is one of my favorite Super Bowls of all time. Fucking love this Super Bowl, especially the fourth quarter. Oh my God. And like I said, Larry Fitzgerald makes one of the most insane catches and runs and touchdowns in NFL history in this game. And it wasn't enough to overcome my dude Ben Roethlisberger and Santonio Holmes driving it down the field and hitting the game-winning touchdown to win it all. But nobody expected this 2008 Cardinals team to not only, like, nobody expected them to even get a win, let alone go on to the Super Bowl and actually make it a close, good Super Bowl where they almost won that one. I mean, it was so close. They almost won it, but they did not. But still, the run they went on in the second half of the season is crazy. And the fact that a 9-7 team went all the way to the Super Bowl and almost won it is also crazy. Then at number two on my top 5 second half playoff runs, I have the 2005 Pittsburgh Steelers. They ended up going 11-5 on the season. They would end up clinching a wild card spot that year. But what really happened is that at the week 13 point, they were 7-5. This was a very up and down team. They had they didn't really have much of an identity. They weren't really playing that well. But after week 13, they would go on a winning streak in which they would not lose again. And it was crazy because nobody was looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers as a threat. They would make the playoffs, and they were not favored in one matchup along the way. So since they were a wild card team, they ended up having to go on the road each and every single game against some really damn good teams, beginning in the wild card round. They had to go up against the Cincinnati Bengals, one of their all-time rivals. This was when Carson Palmer, he was the quarterback. I'm pretty sure this is the season where he tore his ACL, it, like, right off the bat in the game. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. I know it was in the same kind of era, but regardless, the Bengals were a heavy favorite in this one, and the Pittsburgh Steelers ended up getting the win and moving on to the divisional round against the Indianapolis Colts, who were one of the best teams in the league that year. Peyton Manning had a fantastic year, and I mean, nobody expected the Steelers to even make this a game. Well, not only would they make it a game, but Ben Roethlisberger would have one of the greatest plays of his entire fantastic career, in which, I mean, the Steelers are pretty much rolling through this game. And this is when they had Jerome Bettis at running back. And Jerome Bettis, if you don't know, was known for always, if they were at the goal line, you just hand the ball to the bus, because that was his nickname, the bus, because he was so fucking huge, he would just run y'all over. So, Steelers, they're at the goal line. What do? You hand off the ball to the bus. Well, in perfect football fashion, something happened that doesn't usually happen. A fumble happens, and this ball pops into the air, and it's spinning. It's like slow fucking motion. So you see the ball spinning. Nick Harper, Indianapolis Colts, picks up this football, and he starts running, and he starts running, and he starts running. And there is only one player he needs to get by, and that is quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. And as I said, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, he's had some amazing, I mean, this is a Hall of Fame football player, y'all. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He's been to three Super Bowls. He's had many crazy moments in his NFL career, but this is definitely a top five Roethlisberger moment. He is just able to get Nick Harper's feet, just one of his feet, trips him up, and gets him tackled to the ground. Now, at this point in time, the Colts also have a great kicker by the last name of Vanderjack. He usually doesn't miss. And they actually, where Harper was tackled, they were already kind of in Vanderjack range. They were able to get a little bit closer, kick the field goal, and Vanderjack misses the field goal. And the Steelers go on to win that one. So then they go to the AFC Championship game at Denver. I believe Denver actually was the number one overall seed in this season. Denver was just rolling. They were a good-ass team, but not today. Fucking Steelers actually stomped their asses and would move on to Super Bowl 40 against the Seattle Seahawks. And what would the Steelers do? They would win the Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks. And it was really unfathomable. At week 13, there was pretty much nobody saying, oh yeah, the Steelers are going to go on and win the Super Bowl. And then each and every game leading up to the Super Bowl, nobody believed in them at one point in time. But they were able to turn it around at week 13 and not lose another game and would go on and win the Super Bowl. But the number one top five second half playoff run goes to the 2007 New York Giants. They would end up going 10-6 in the season, grabbing a wild card spot. So they would also have to go on the road each and every way. Nobody expected this team to win shit. I think the only matchup that you looked at and you go, oh yeah, they got a shot at that one, was in the wild card round against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They would get the win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but that I feel like was the only one where maybe people thought they were going to win. But for the most part, they were not favored in any of these matchups. And you know, we were like, okay, they beat Tampa. They're gonna lose this next round, especially me, because they would play against my Dallas Cowboys in the divisional round. And this was a good year to be a Cowboys fan. Did you know the Cowboys were like 13-3 on the season, I believe. It was either 12-4, 13-3, who cares? They were having a great season. They looked like one of the best teams in the league. They were kicking everybody's ass. The Giants couldn't even get one win against us this season. Oh my God, the Cowboys should win this shit easy. Nope. It's one of those awesome Tony Romo games where he fucking walks in and throws like 97 interceptions, and then we go on this magical little run towards the end of the game, and then fucking just we lose, as we always fucking do, to the goddamn New York Giants. And then they go and move on to the NFC Championship game in Green Bay against Brett Favre and one of the top teams in the league, the Green Bay Packers. Nobody expected them to win this one. As a matter of fact, this was one of those Green Bay games, meaning it was freezing ass cold. It was so cold that you look at the field and it's frozen. The frozen tundra. You look at these guys on the sideline and their breath, you could just see it because it's that fucking cold. There is no way the New York Giants are winning this game, right? Wrong. As a matter of fact, to me, in this 2007 run for the New York Giants, once we get to the Super Bowl, because if you know, you know, most people would say that's the best game of this run. No, 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 no. To me, the NFC Championship game versus this Giants team and the Green Bay Packers was so good. I mean, it was a battle. These two teams were going at it, and then they would go into overtime and intercept Brett fucking Favre and win in overtime in Green fucking Bay. Now, most people think Super Bowl 47 is their best game, and don't get me wrong, it is insane because, well, this is the game where they would play the undefeated New England Patriots. Going into this game, there wasn't one person, I'm sure even New York Giants fans were on edge. Like, there ain't no way we're beating these Patriots. I mean, if you don't recall, this New England Patriots team, Randy Moss, Tom Brady, they were just annihilating everybody along the way. Even this Giants team, because this Giants team played them the last week of the season, and the Patriots just laid it on them. It wasn't even close. It was one of those games where I believe Tom Brady was taken out in like the second half because they were kicking so much ass. So there's no way the Giants are going to win this game, right? Well, we all know what happened. The Giants won this game. Of course, their defense played excellent. Eli made one of the greatest passes you can ever make in Super Bowl history. And they would go on and beat the undefeated New England Patriots. But it's just these playoff runs that I'm talking about. It's like you could see that happen this season. Obviously, I'm not expecting that with my stupid Dallas Cowboys. But, I mean, you look at a team like, I can't pull one out, the Rams. Let's just pull out the Los Angeles Rams. They are a team that's won a Super Bowl. They've got Matthew Stafford, a good, excellent quarterback. They've got Cooper Kupp. They've got Puka Nacua. They've got Williams in the backfield. And they've got a defense that's able to kind of get it done. Plus, they're in a terrible division that they could win. What if, because, you know, you look at the Rams right now, I wouldn't say they're a Super Bowl bound team, but who knows? They could turn it around right now, go on to win their division, and all of a sudden they could be hoisting up that trophy at the end of the season. And that was the point of this list, is to let you know that there's been, because, I mean, there's even more beyond than these five teams that I've mentioned. But I mean, that it happens quite frequently. I don't want to say always, because it's not true. But usually there is a team that just comes out of nowhere and is able to make a playoff run. Sometimes they win, sometimes they don't. But that was the point of this list, is just, if you look at your team and they're still in it, they could easily go on to win, because I think we all know. If you remember that 2007 season when the Giants beat the Patriots, come on, man. That Patriots team was so dominant. They won every single game except the Super Bowl. So, and the Giants won those games. It's not like the Giants barely got by. No, they kicked the Buccaneers' ass. And this Buccaneers team, y'all don't remember. This is when they had freaking Rondé Barber and Warren Sapp. And this was a good-ass Buccaneers team. Then they go on and kick my Dallas Cowboys ass, and this was a good-ass Cowboys team. Then they go on and beat a good-ass Green Bay Packers team in the frozen fucking tundra, and then they go on and beat an undefeated team who is arguably the best team to ever play football up until that game. That is just, that's why I love football. I hate the Giants. I fucking hate the Giants, and I put them at number one on this because it's undeniable. That's obviously an amazing second-half playoff run. Come on, y'all. So, who knows? Who knows what is going to happen the rest of the season? But anybody, except for the shitty teams, can turn it all around right now. So, we'll see what happens with the rest of the season. Also, though, the rest of the season, or any sport that you're playing, if you do the sports gambling, make sure you go to my website, katietrop.net. Click on the tab, Sports Trop. Jesus Christ. Sports Talk with Trop. Click on that. Then you click on the banner at the top. My preferred sports books. And if you click on that, you will see a selection of sports books that you could sign up with and gamble your life away if you choose to do so. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you on Monday.